All right. As you guys look at this picture, we're going to continue on in our study of Luke. We're in the first chapter of Luke, so go ahead and make your way there. Those that are listening online, go ahead and make your way to Luke. We're going to be in the last portion of Luke chapter 1, and we're going to continue on in this awesome book of looking at Luke as the writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel and to tell of our Lord, tell of His coming, and tell of these great individuals the Lord used at the perfect time for His message and His purpose. Let me read this stanza that we just sang on Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know, in this chapter, in this study that we're beginning here, we're getting into this really good stuff, and it's just chapter one, right? Of the coming of our Lord and the individuals He's using perfectly in their point in life, whether they're young, like Mary, or I was going to say elderly, maybe I should say senior, like Elizabeth, in their point, and Zacharias also, and then the using of John the Baptist, and others. The Lord used everything perfectly according to His purposes at His time. And that's not something to take lightly in life. The Lord is directing us and He's guiding us, and we should be like that song, All Is Well, right? We should be safe and secure in His hand as He leads us. I like this stanza, His word shall not fail you. He promised. You know, it's one thing to have a promise from a friend. You know, it's one thing to have a promise from a relative or a family member. But to have a promise of God, and not just a promise of God, but a promise that is so fulfilled to its completeness. There's nothing that you could take like, oh, yeah, He fulfilled His promise, but it was half-hearted. No, it was completely fulfilled. Roy did the first part, Jonathan, and then David, and then Roy shared the Mary's Magnificat of how blessed the Lord chose her to have the Savior. And you see just in this picture here of Mary and Elizabeth rejoicing because of what the Lord is doing in their lives. And that's something I want to focus on today is a promise fulfilled. Luke 1:57 through verse 80. A promise fulfilled. And I want you guys to take a step back, especially you, the young ones here, to think about what the Lord is doing here, what He's setting the scene for, or He's setting the scene for the plan of salvation, of course. But how is He using individuals and the lives of individuals to complete His plan and its purpose? It's beautiful. When you pause and think about Zacharias, you think about his faith and how he had a falter in his faith and then how the Lord gloriously used him. You think about Elizabeth being senior in years, right? But yet, she was used mightily for the Lord's purpose. And we're going to go through each one of these. I like these character studies. I really enjoy Swindoll's character studies, his character books. I love some of these character studies because you step into the shoes of these individuals and you have to ask yourself, Lord, how would I have responded? How would I have responded in my life if the Lord put me in the same situation? A promise fulfilled. And we're going to look at just this, a promise fulfilled in multiple ways. So strap in. You guys got to come along with me and follow with me, okay? And I'm going to ask the young ones to do a favor for me, okay? So let's begin reading Luke chapter 1, verse 57. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter here. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Just a side note, Luke mentions rejoicing 19 times in the book of Luke. So there's a purpose for joy here. There's a reason why there's been joy given here, and we'll go into that later. They rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Verse 76, And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, and you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Verse 80, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. A promise fulfilled. We're coming across in Luke 80 verses in the first chapter, and we just finished with Mary being with Elizabeth, and then Mary magnificant, her rejoicing of that. And we have to go back. We have to go back and look at, we're going to focus on Zacharias a little bit, but Zacharias, little ones, what is he, what's his state of being right now in this portion of Scripture? Zacharias is what? He's what? What is he? He's going to be rejoicing. He's a priest. Good. What else? He can't speak, right? Why can't he speak?
An angel made him mute.
Why?
Because he didn't believe.
Okay, good. So Zacharias here, and you go back to Luke in chapter 1, verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, as after Gabriel visits him, and you got to see, okay, you got to picture this. He's serving in the temple, right? And he's standing there, and Gabriel appears, and Gabriel tells him what he's going to be doing. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." You see, Zacharias, right, the priest, the spiritual leader, as you can say, of the people, and one of his awesome tasks, you know, there's many priests in his tribe, but he gets the awesome task of serving in the temple at this time, and he sees this angel, and then he doubts. Gabriel, the one that stands in the presence of God, how can these things be? You know, and I started to pause and say, I'm going to step into Zacharias' shoes. If I was serving, and you got to step with me here, okay? How many years of silence has the Jewish land been silent from God's words? How many years? Around 400 years. 400 years of silence. 400 years of ritualistic going to the temple, of continuing on in these sacrifices. And all of a sudden, perfectly in God's timing, He speaks this, He picks this moment to meet with Zacharias. I would be like, I would probably, have an accident or something of I don't know what to do. I probably have a doubt of faith. I'm like, me? How can you pick me? You know, I was just thinking, is this not the cry of many hearts today? How can this be for real? How do I know it's the hand of God? Zacharias' question of doubt is not different from many today, whether within the church or outside the church. You know, Hans even mentioned his father's friend, agnostic, right? Speak to me. Let me hear the hand of God. You know, and I want to say, have you opened up this? Has God not revealed Himself, the Word of God? What more do you want? And Zacharias goes through this doubting, but we come to this awesome part of what happens in Zacharias' life. We're going to look at that in a second here. We're going to look at praise and blessings of God. We're going to break it down a little bit in this passage. Dealings of God in both Elizabeth and Zacharias' life, and then, of course, John setting the stage for, as the preparer of the way, right? Setting the stage for the Savior. And then we're going to look at what in Zacharias' time of silence, right? He was given silence to himself because of his unbelief. When his mouth is loosed, what does he say? What's the first thing he says? And we're going to look at that. It's awesome. I really like this because I've never really studied this in detail before. But let's look at these few things. Praise and blessings of God. Look at verse 56 here. Elizabeth. We're going to look at Elizabeth, and we're going to look at Zacharias and then John. But it's really amazing how the Lord, you see how He answers a promise. Okay? Now, there's multiple promises here, right? The promise of God answering the prayer of Zacharias and Elizabeth, right? What do we see? What did we read in Psalms 127? Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. You see, just by them knowing the word of God, for years they were barren, right? Zacharias and Elizabeth were without children. You know, and I couldn't imagine the, I don't know if you want to call it disdain, but you know, the perception within the community, oh, why doesn't this one, this priest, this wife have children? Is there something wrong? You know, people start asking those questions. Did someone sin? Is there something that's been holding back? So that you could hear, if you're married and, you know, I when we started to plan and for our family, I was like, oh man, I can't wait to have my first child. You know, and I even my brother and his wife kind of they struggled for years trying to have a child, and you had this wanting, you have this pain of, oh Lord, will you bless me with a child? I was just asking my wife when we were planning to have a child, and then the day she told me we were pregnant, she told me, she went back into the bathroom, and I just was pumping my fist in the air. I was like, yeah, I have a child. It was just such a blessing. I was just thanking the Lord of the Lord blessing us with children. And you have to think of Elizabeth's state here. Elizabeth, the angel appears, tells Zacharias and Elizabeth, and then Elizabeth's response and her faith was amazing. Totally different from Zacharias. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when He looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Senior in years, and she's been wanting this, a child. And what do you see in our study here? Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Can you imagine the amount of rejoicing? Word of the Lord's blessing upon Elizabeth brought rejoicing. When her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. They rejoiced. What blessing it is to rejoice in God's blessings in our lives. You know, after 9 months of waiting and the deliverance of a message of hope from the angel Gabriel, the Lord blesses and fulfills His promise of a son to Zacharias and Elizabeth. You see, Zacharias' thought was one of doubting, but she said, how blessed it is. Abundant blessing, a promise from God, sending them a baby boy. You know, even the neighbors and the relatives heard the word of the Lord's blessing. You know, I think this is why they marveled, right? They marveled at this. And the name, proclaims the name will not be after the son or family names, but will be John, breaking tradition or human wisdom. It's funny, even in the Indian community, my parents, when they first found out we were pregnant, and for each of the son's kids, they're like, oh, who's going to get my name? Oh, you're going to name from the in-law side, or it's going to be from our side. You know, it's just going back and forth. But, you know, this same kind of idea, you have this idea in back in the Jewish times of who will be this son? Who will be this one be named after? And it was common to be called John. Common to be called after the father, Zacharias. But she proclaims, she follows a promise given by Gabriel himself to call him John. And I think this is interesting that we see the development of a faith here in Elizabeth and Zacharias, right? Years of silence from God speaking to the people. And then at this appointed time, they speak to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Can you imagine the 9 months? I can't imagine what women go through in their pregnancy. I can't relate to it. I give you praise for that. But in 9 months, can you imagine Elizabeth looking at her belly, praising God, and her faith saying, God has answered my prayers. God has been good to me and answered my prayers. And she follows in faith and says, his name is John. Not or will be called John. He says, his name is John. What a testimony of faith in Elizabeth. And we see her rejoicing. Right away rejoicing because of what God has done. A promise fulfilled. The answer of prayers, okay? That's what we're talking about. A promise fulfilled and answer of prayers. Let's look at Zacharias. We read in Luke 1:18, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? How shall I know these things? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And what happens to him when he says this? What does Gabriel do? Come on. He was mute, right? It says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. Some commentators say, he was deaf. Because when they ask him, right? When they ask him, is his name going to be John? They had to, what does it say? Hold on. Verse 62. So they made signs to the father. What? Couldn't he not hear? They made signs to the father what would he would have him called. At the point of his doubting, he was made mute. Okay? And I think he learned a lesson here. He learned, well, could this be? Could this be the time? You know, I was thinking even Zacharias' profession is what? Huh? Priest, right? He's the priest. So he knows the Old Testament. He knows the prophecies coming. He knows of Isaiah 40 verse 3. There will be one to prepare the way of the Lord. Can you imagine the point at when he's made mute? Okay, let's pause here. Okay, all you young ones, put your hands up. Put your hands up, okay? Close your mouths. Close your ears. What are you thinking about? You're not supposed to hear me, but... What do you think about? Okay, you could take your ears. Shake them if they can't hear me. You think about all that you've heard, all that you've studied as a priest, all the prophecies, and for 9 months, what is Zacharias pondering? Could this be my son, the one to prepare the way of the Lord? The one to prepare the way for the Messiah. 9 months, Zacharias' faith is just bubbling over in him. Can you imagine? Let me go back here. This picture, as he's looking before he could speak and his tongues are loosened. Can you imagine staring at this baby, all the scriptures that are about to be fulfilled, all the prophecies of this one, his son to prepare the way, and then Mary to have Jesus. For 9 months, how precious, senior in years, praying, Lord, bless me with a son. Angel comes to him, and for 9 months, he can't hear, possibly, he can't speak. What is he thinking about in his silence? Oh, could this be the time? Can you see a promise fulfilled in prayer and the scriptures of the Old Testament of what the Lord is just about to do? Do you understand? I wish if I could live in a certain part of time, it would be the first century. It would be the time of Jesus. And to be just watching this couple on the cusp of what the Lord Jesus, he was about to enter creation, and this plan of salvation was going to be there. How awesome. Zacharias, knowing all these things, the Lord chastens of his faith and the silence given to Zacharias because of his unbelief. Sorry. And then he says, you shall call him John. You shall call him John. Not a family relative, not even Zacharias. You shall call him John. And he says that. That's the first thing he writes on the tablet, isn't it? Verse 63. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is, not his name shall be called or will be called. It's not something he's thinking. It's already been done. Proclaimed, following in faith, Zacharias' faith. He said, his name is John. And so they marveled. Why would they marvel? Why would they marvel? They saw Elizabeth, God blessing Elizabeth and Zacharias. They see Elizabeth saying, no, his name is John. And then they go to Zacharias. His name is John. What a boldness of faith. And I think you think about it, because of God and seeing Zacharias' faith, following after in obedience to what God has said, we see his mouth is loosened and his tongue to speak, and he see him start to glorify God in such an amazing, powerful way. You have to think, 9 months of silence, 9 months of can't speaking, years of knowing the scriptures, the prophecies of what is about to happen, and this bursts forth from Zacharias' faith, and here we hear his words, and we're going to look at that in a second. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit to prophesy. He's filled to proclaim of God's word. Now, how can these things be? Was his original question, right? And you see the development of his faith and hearing the words of God and seeing promises fulfilled. Let's pause and think here. Have you ever seen or have you ever experienced a promise fulfilled in your life? God answering a prayer. God seeing moving in your life and you seeing the hand of God. How does that develop your faith? You know, many times we're so busy in life. This world is so manufactured or mechanical that you can't pause and see God working. God working in your life. What did God have to do to Zechariah? He had to silence him, right? For 9 months. And in faith, out of faith and obedience, he speaks. And what's the first thing he speaks? He speaks in obedience and says his name will be John. There's more meaning here. There's a lot more meaning here. So we're going to go here. John the Baptist, I'm just going to briefly speak on this because we're going to talk about John probably in the next few chapters. But I want to get to Zacharias' proclamation of praise in a second because it's just amazing. But John, the grace of the Lord, the one called to prepare the way. Let me go back to Isaiah here. I want to read this portion because it's important. Isaiah 40, verse 3. This is speaking of John, the mission of John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God's setting the stage here, isn't he? And John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord. Luke 1:15-17 says again, speaking of John, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. How do we know that? From the mother's womb, how do we know that? Young ones? What happened when Mary and Elizabeth met for the first time? Well, not first time, but when they were both pregnant.
The baby kicked in the womb.
Ah, very good. The baby kicked in the womb. Good. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see John's mission here. You see what he's called to do is prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What if the Lord called you to this task? Whew. What a huge responsibility. In a way, hasn't the Lord called us to this work? To proclaim the message of the Savior, to proclaim the good news. John had an awesome, awesome mission in front of him, and he was going to follow in faith as well. Here's what I want to kind of neat thing of this passage. I was studying this. G. Campbell Morgan brings out two main points here. There's two main points he brings out here. One is the connection between the name of John and the theme of the song. Both are the grace of God. The grace of God bestowed upon, you know, here Zacharias proclaiming the grace of the Lord. And then the name, John itself. Now, here's an awesome thing here, okay? In just this study, here's the second connection here. The allusions of the names of John, Zacharias, and Elizabeth in verses 72 through 73. We see here, just in this character study, just the naming of these individuals and how they're included. John is called the mercy promised, or the grace promised. Zacharias, to remember. And Elizabeth, the oath. Look at verse 72 and 73. To perform, and this is Zacharias speaking of the Lord, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. We're talking about promises fulfilled, right? Promises fulfilled. You know, if there's anything that you could draw an unbeliever to, it's a given word, a promise, and how was it answered? How was it answered? It's 100% evidence of the working of God in somebody's life, right? I could tell you about Christ. Why? Because I had a personal experience with Christ. He's evident in my life. See how he's changed my life. You see, Zacharias, you see Elizabeth, and you will see John, they're a living testimony of faith. Their prayers being answered. Zacharias, we'll get into these verses, proclaiming God's promises of years ago in Isaiah, in Malachi. of a Messiah, of John the Baptist. And look, to remember the oath, to remember the covenant, to remember that God's mercy is coming. God's mercy and grace is being poured out. What an awesome thought. I think, you know, I would think about Zechariah, an old priest. Old priest. He knows the scriptures. Serving in the temple, the importance of the sacrifices they were doing at the temple. And then he's given this divine experience, this meeting Gabriel. And he's like, he had a crisis of faith. But for 9 months, he said, this is the appointed time. This is the appointed time. I'm going to be redeemed for eternity because my Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming. And he proclaims this gospel here. God's favor, as announced here, results from his remembering the oath of his holy covenant. Just in these three characters, these three individuals, you see this. And this sets the stage for the rest of the gospel, doesn't it? This perfectly sets the stage. So in our closing time here, my few minutes here, we're going to look at Zacharias' praise here, okay? So out of silence, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1 again. Verse 64, we're going to go into this. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. He spoke, the first thing, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child would this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. What could this be? First, a couple that's very old is given a baby. That doesn't make sense. Zacharias silenced for 9 months, and now he could suddenly speak. The start of the miracles, the start of Jesus, God's work. And Zacharias sings out a hymn of praise and rejoicing. And Luke is very specific. They rejoice. They rejoice at what has happened. And what is this four-part hymn of Zacharias? And I want us to just think about it. And I think this is a good gospel message as well. So I ask all of you to focus on these verses as well as those listening. The opening of the prison door. Look at verse 67, 68. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, not to, you know, salvation hasn't been completed yet, but he's been filled to deliver this message. And prophesied saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He's referring to scripture of old, right? He's referring to what he sees happening before his eyes. An oath, a covenant being completed. His prophecies being completed of a Savior coming. And he says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's sending the Messiah. Redemption is right there. Opening of the prison door. Captive. 400 years of silence. Could you get disheartened in 400 years? Do you get disheartened today when a prayer goes unanswered? How fickle we are, huh? How weak we are in our spirit not to continue on in the Lord. That's why we have to be reading His Word, because Zacharias knew the Word and he saw the work of God happening right before his eyes. And he says, opening his mouth to those around him, relatives and neighbors, he says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. What are you saying, Zacharias? Yeah, why are you saying this now? Could this be the time of the Savior? Could this be the time of the Messiah coming to redeem? Finally, after years of the promise, could this be the time? 69 through 75, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This idea of winning the battle, the horn of salvation, is here. The house of his servant David is here. Can you picture it? Okay, I think David or Jonathan brought this up. They're living, right? Who's leading the people in that area? Who's the king? Herod, right? He's such an evil guy. Herod, I was reading commentary and said, this guy, there's rumors that he killed his 9 or 10 wives. This guy was an evil guy, and these people were, the Jews were under oppression. You know, how many years were they under Egyptian oppression? Babylonian oppression? They were just these enemies. The enemies surrounded them. When will there be deliverance? And out of Zechariah's silence, it says, has raised up a horn of salvation. This idea of, are we going to be defeated by our enemies? No. There's this new day. There's the Savior. There's the Messiah that has come. Not will be coming. He's here. He's in Mary's womb. He's coming to redeem the day. How awesome. A promise fulfilled. A promise fulfilled. Zacharias continues his praise and says in verse 76, And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Now he's talking of his son. He's talking about his son, telling the people. This is Isaiah 40, verse 3, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, being fulfilled in his son. A promise is being fulfilled. People, listen to me. It's kind of the urgency that I get when I'm sharing the gospel. Because I don't know when the Lord's going to return. The Lord has come. Come and hear this message. This, my child, he's the prophet of the highest. Why? He's the one that has been spoken of in old time to prepare the way of the Lord. To tell the people knowledge of salvation of his people by the remission of their sins. You know, sometimes I pause and think, we come here day in and day out, right? And we fellowship with one another. I sometimes feel that I lose the reality of the world. That I'm comfy where I am, being in the Lord. I'm comfy in knowing the gospel and knowing the message. But I lose the perspective of how lost this world is. You know, we have a bunch of Hindus that live around us. And they're such dear people. They're sweet people. And sometimes I just want to shake them by their shoulders and say, do you know Jesus? Do you know the one that has come to redeem you? Put away the 1,000 idols. The dancing elephant. The monkey with weird heads on him. They don't mean anything. They're made by man's hands. They have no power. There's no sense in it. But come see the promise fulfilled in the Savior and the Messiah. Come see this one that has redeemed my life. This is what Zacharias, out of his silence, is proclaiming. People around in the hills of Judea, this is answered in my son. He's come to prepare the way for the Messiah. His last one here and says, this is the awesome one. Verse 78 through 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. Look at that wording there. With which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You think about these people, years of silence, years of being under oppression, and Zacharias looking at the people and say, look at the time. This is the time God has called. The dayspring has arrived. What a title. The day spring has arrived to visit us, to give us light. And he says, those that sit in darkness. Do you look at our neighbors? Do you look at the people around you and see them sitting in darkness? Do you see them sitting at the cusp of death, not knowing a Savior? This is Zacharias. This Zacharias could say is preparing the way for the preparer of the way for the Messiah. He's giving the intro to John's message, isn't he? He's saying, do you not see? Here's a promise from the point of creation being fulfilled before your eyes. You know, this kind of rejoicing, this kind of joy that's being proclaimed from Zacharias' mouth should be in our lips, shouldn't it? Should this not be our message to the lost and dying around us? To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I'll close with that. Verse 80. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. What a thought to think about this start, this journey of the gospel message of John having this mission, preparing the way. Zacharias is kind of greasing the wheels already, isn't he? Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary, they all, in this first chapter, preparing the way of the Messiah. Promises fulfilled. This is how sure we can be in the message of God, in the Word of God, and not to be afraid to proclaim it. A promise fulfilled in so many ways, right? And they answered prayers from Zacharias and Elizabeth to the answered prophecies of the message of old. And now we see the starting of the gospel message, the starting of what God has come to do in Christ. I just pray that we think about this more and allow this Zacharias' joy and rejoicing, even Mary's Magnificat, should this not be the heart tune, heart hymn of our lives? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, Lord, just pause and think about, Lord, what you have done through these individuals in this great and awesome story, Lord, that you have written. Lord, may we step in the shoes of these individuals and just ponder, Lord, in how great you have finished the work, how great you have been in answering these promises and the prophecies and them being fulfilled. Lord, we ask that you would help us to leave here, Lord, with a new kind of joy, Lord, for what you have done and the precious gospel that we have received. Lord, if we don't know you, Lord, I pray for those listening and for those here that don't know you, Lord, that they would, Lord, come to understand these words of seeing you as the light of the world. Lord, not sitting in sin any longer, not sitting in the darkness or in the shadow of death, Lord, but that they would come to understand who you are as their Savior to pay the sins of the world. Lord, and may they place their faith upon you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord, and we pray that you would just continue to remind us of these things as we leave here today. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for these words you have given us, and may we live our lives to continue to glorify you and make your name known. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.